We're going to start from the bottom of Mem Vav on the base. And we're in the middle of a very interesting sugya. We stopped in the middle of the sugya, but it actually carries on throughout the entire Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is talking about, the Gemara before had Rabbi Yochanan told us there's a whole list of priority in terms of machlekes tanoim, that if there are various tanoim that have a machlekes, we're going to paskin. Basically, Rabbi Yossi is on the top, meaning we always paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Next, we always paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And then Rabbi Yehuda also comes before Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Masharsha came along and said that we don't necessarily hold of these rules. So the Gemara wants to know, where did he get that concept from, that we don't hold of these rules? So the Gemara tried to bring, previously, and last week we learned, one case where we saw there was a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara said, oh, maybe over there, that's because specifically we expressly paskined like Rabbi Shimon, but in a regular case, maybe we would still follow the rules. So we're going to pick up with the next case where the Gemara is going to make a similar type of suggestion about five lines from the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Elameha. So maybe from the following next case, we'll see that again, we don't follow these rules. The Tanam, we learned in the Mishnah, Ir shel yachid v'nasa shel rabim. If you have a city that once upon a time belonged to an individual, the way Rashi learns this is that the city was not originally set up to be a real Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. Vinasa Shel Rabim means, and eventually more people moved into town, or the streets were constructed in a way that they looked more like a Rishus HaRabim. They began having the dinim of a Rishus HaRabim. Other Rishonim, most Rishonim do not learn that way. Most Rishonim learn that it simply means originally the city belonged to an individual person, and then eventually the city became public domain. In any event, the bottom line is the same thing. It went from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim. So the halacha is Ma'arvin es kula. You're allowed to put an Erev around the entire city because it doesn't look like you put an Erev around the Rishus HaRabim because originally it belonged to Rishus HaYochid. However, the other way around, Shel Rabim, let's say originally the city was a Rishus HaRabim, Venasa Shel Yochid, and then the city became a Rishus HaYochid. Ein Ma'arvin es kula. In that case, you're not allowed to put an Erev around the entire city because, as you know, except with the exception, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we say that you cannot make an Erev around the Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, you can't make an Erev around this entire city. So how do you deal with it? Aleim Kain Asa Chutzala Ki'ir Chadosha Sheb Yehuda. Unless you have a part of the city which is in addition to the regular part of the city, like an annex to the city, and it's not part of the Erev, you won't include that. And then you can say, look, you see, we're not really doing an entire city. The entire city is not becoming under the Erev. It's part of the city. It's like a regular mavli, like any other mavli that leads into the city that you're allowed to put an Erev. How big does that city have to be that's not included in your Erev? So Rashi in the Mishnah on Tes learns, Ki'ir Chadosha, like the size of a city that they knew, they were familiar with the city called Chadosha, and that was a certain size, Shabi Yehuda. And what was it? Sheyesh bo chamishim diurim. It had 50 people that lived there. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, you have a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, because the next man diyamer is Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Shalosh chatzeros shel shnei botim. You need three chatzeros that are not part of the city. Each one has two houses, which is a typical chatzer. And then, in other words, you have to have the equivalent of six houses, however many people live in that. So you see, it's a much smaller amount. It's six people, possibly, as opposed to 50 people. Va'amar Rav Chama, says, Machlek is Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon, and here we go again. Va'amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rav Shimon. He paskins like Rav Shimon, which again goes against the rules. Man Palagalei Rabbi Yehuda. And it's the Bar Machlekes, the one who argues on him, is Rabbi Yehuda. Va'amret Rabbi Yehuda v'Rav Shimon, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. But I thought normally the rules were, based on what we said before, we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, the Gemara says, in my Kosha, why is that difficult? Dilma Hachanami, over here also you can say, Hechad Itmar, Itmar, Hechad Lo Itmar, Lo Itmar. That over here, once again, we have an express psak. Rav Chama Bar Guria came along and gave us a psak that we paskin like Rav Shimon, but in Hachanami, that rule that we would follow Rav Yehuda would apply if we didn't know how we paskin, so we would follow the regular rule. So the Gemara continues and says, let's look at another case. Elameha. Maybe this case is where Rav Masharsha got his rule. The time we learned in the Mishnah. Hamaniach es beisoy. This is a very interesting case. Normally, this is talking about a case where you have a Erev Chatzeris. You're trying to make an Erev around it for everybody that lives in a certain community, and let's say in a single building. And one of the people went away for Shabbos before they were able to make an Erev, and he wasn't able to contribute and be part of the Erev. So the question is, if a house belongs to somebody and it's not part of the Erev, it ruins the Erev for everybody in the Chatzar. However, if the Rishus is Hefker, or we consider it like Hefker, it's not a problem, and it won't interfere with the rest of the Erev. So here the Mishnah gives the following case. So somebody leaves his house before Shabbos, before they made an Erev, and now he's in another city for Shabbos. So the first Mandi Yomer says, Echad Nachri ve'echad Yisrael, Uyser Livnei Chatzeros, Divrei Remeir. Remeir says that it doesn't matter whether it was a guy that used to live there or a yid that's supposed to be there. In any event, since his house is not included in the Erev, it ruins the Erev for everybody. Reb Yehuda Aymer. Reb Yehuda argues and says, no, sir, it doesn't answer because now that the person is not here, Reb Yehuda is very makel, says even if the person's in town now, but he's not in his house becomes like a reshus of Hefker, and it's mutter to include his house like a Hefker reshus as and part of the chatzur. Reb Yossi Aymer says, very interesting. Nachri Oyser. Yisrael Eina Oyser. The difference is that a guy is going to be a problem, but a yid will not. Because if the yid went to another city, so it's outside the tchum, it's not possible for him to come here on Shabbos. So it's not going to be a problem. He's not going to aser because his house technically for Shabbos is hefker because he can't get to it. But a guy could, so a guy will be a problem. And once again, finally, we have Reb Shimon Aymer. Reb Shimon says, "Afilu haniach es beisoy v'halachlish." Oh, do you hear me now? Okay, Reb Shimon Aymer, "Afilu." So Reb Shimon says it's not even a problem. You don't even have to go to another city. Even a yid in the same city, if he went to live, he went for Shabbos to his daughter's house. We'll see the Gemara later is going to discuss that. He went to his daughter's house, and we can assume that he's going to stay by his daughter the entire Shabbos, and he's not going to come back to this house on Shabbos, so this house is considered hefker, and therefore you can include it in the Erev. So we have a four-way machlekas over here. And once again, v'amar Rav Chama bar Guria, omar Rav, halacha k'Reb Shimon. So we see paskins like Reb Shimon, umam palagalei, Reb Yehuda. And even though he's paskin like Reb Shimon, even though the other man, the Yama that argues, is Reb Yehuda. V'amar Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, halacha k'Reb Yehuda. Once again, we should, according to our rules, we should really be following Reb Yehuda Shita. So the Gemara gives the same tarot. So my kushya dilma hachanami. Over here also you could say hechad itmar itmar hechad lo itmar lo itmar. Once again, since it says expressly that we're going to pass like Reb Shimon, we don't have a problem with that. The only time we were going to use the rules was when we don't have anybody telling us how to pass and who we should follow. So we're going to follow the Mandi Omar that we are most familiar with, which is Reb Yehuda. Or in this case, Rashi points out we could have passed like Reb Yossi also, who is even, so to speak, on top of Reb Yehuda. However, the basic machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon is what we focus on, and even that would have been a contradiction to the rule. So, we move on to the next case. We're going to bring from the following case. Now, finally, this is a case we've seen before. This is what they discussed about how to make an Erev. Ha'oni ma'arev baraglov. An oni, the concept was that an oni, the way it said was, an ani is able to make an Erev simply with his feet. He doesn't have to put food there. Simply where he is, that's where we create the Erev. So Reb Meir understands that to mean ein lanu el ani. That only applies to an ani. In other words, somebody who's, as Rashi says, is traveling, he doesn't have any food with him. So we say, since he doesn't have any other real place, where he is now becomes his makam shvisa, so that's where he established himself for Shabbos. And so it only applies to an ani. It doesn't apply to somebody who has a real house someplace. Reb Yehuda Aymer, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher. He says, no, it could apply to a rich person, meaning he has a house in the city, but he wants to make an Erev for purposes of traveling 4,000 Amos that Shabbos. It's not a problem. So, Loi Omru Ma'arvin Bepas, the only reason why they require that you have a piece of bread there and not use your feet, Ela Hakel, Ala Asher, is to make it easier for a rich person, Shalo Yetze, the Arab Raglev, he's not required to go out and make the Erev with his own feet, meaning he can send the Shliach with a piece of bread and say, you go ahead and you put the Erev someplace else, and that's to my convenience. However, Enechanami, if a rich person wants to go ahead and stand someplace and say, this is where I want to be for Shabbos, notwithstanding the fact that he has a house someplace within the 2,000 Amos, he can also make an Erev. Okay, so once again, you have a machlekes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. So according to our rules, we should paskin like Reb Yehuda. Umasni la Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Lechiya bar Rav, Kamei de Rav. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi told Rav Chiya in front of Rav, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher. He says, yeah, we hold that you can eat, a rich person and an Ani can both make the Erev. V'amalei Rav, Sayim ba Nami halocha ki Reb Yehuda. And Rav finished off and he agreed, yes, we paskin like Reb Yehuda that everybody can make an Erev. So now the Gemara asks, Tarti Lamali, why do we need to say this twice? In other words, why do we have to repeat this rule? V'amrit Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, halachuk Rabbi Yehuda. We have, following our basic rules, anyway we would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. So that's, again, another question to what we said before, because here Rabbi Yehuda, Rav clearly says, has to point out that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So this is a little bit different than the Gemara's before, because the Gemara before was actually paskining like Reb Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda. Here, Rav is following Rabbi Yehuda. That would fit. But the only problem was he's repeating something that we should basically have known anyway. So the Gemara says, "Umay kosha, duma Rav less lelahani klali." So maybe, if you noticed over here, it was Rav that made the point and said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He had to make the point because maybe he doesn't hold of the general rules. But if you look back in Amud Beis, Amud Vav Amud Beis, the one who says these rules was all Rabbi Yochanan. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan follows the rules, but Rav doesn't necessarily follow the rules. But at least for Rav's sake, we don't have a raya, because maybe Rav doesn't follow the rules. Now Rashi points out something very interesting, that is, when in Shas, the Gemara over here doesn't say this, but in Shas in general, when you have a machlokes as Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Which means that for our purposes so far, the Gemara still is worried about whether Rabbi Yochanan's rule is still a general rule or not. So we still continue on that basis. Elameha. So now we're going to leave the basic Hilchas Erevin, and we're going to start discussing other places that we see this machlekes. It's now we learned in the Mishnah. Hayavama loy tachlitz. Hayavama means a woman who her husband died without any children. So now she has a chiyuv to do yivam to her brother-in-law, to her husband's brother. The halacha is loy tachlitz v'loy tesyabim ad shiyu lo ha-shalish chadoshim. She shouldn't do either yivam or chalitza for 3 months. Because we're afraid that maybe she's pregnant, and if she's pregnant, then the chalitza that she did wouldn't work. And we're afraid that maybe she did the chalitza at a time that she was pregnant, and possibly after that fact, the baby, she had a mapelis, the baby didn't live, so she's going to be required to do another chalitza over again. Or, as Rashi points out, we're afraid that maybe she really is pregnant, and she's allowed to get married to whoever she wants, because now the deceased husband has a child, and she's allowed to get married to somebody else, but everybody's going to think that since she did chalitza during the first 3 months, and they'll think, oh, we see that she needs chalitza, and then they won't realize that she's allowed to marry a kohen. And if she goes ahead and marries a kohen, they'll think, oh, even after chalitza, you're allowed to marry a kohen. So therefore, to avoid this problem, we say, you know what, it's better you should wait 3 months, and that way we won't have this confusion. Just wait 3 months, see if she's pregnant, and if she's not pregnant, then she should do yivam and chalitza. The Mishnah continues, v'chein shar kol hanoshim, and this really applies to all women that had a previous husband, lo yinosu, they shouldn't get married, v'leis arsu, in a gzeira, we say you shouldn't even get engaged, ad shiyu lahen shloisha chadoshim, so they should wait 3 months. And we apply this rule across the board to almost every single case. Echad besulois, whether they're besula, meaning they never had bia before, so they never could have become pregnant, v'echad beulois, even if they did live with the husband, echad almanois, v'echad grushois, the echad arusais, the echad nesuais, whether they were engaged before, whether they were married before, or divorced. In any event, they should always wait 3 months to make sure that we don't have a problem of figuring out whether this child belongs to the first husband or the second husband. Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction. He says, nesuais is arsu. If they were married, then they can only get engaged, because while they're engaged, we don't have to worry anything's going to happen. Barusas, if they were only engaged, so they didn't live with their husband yet, you know, so they can get married right away. The only exception is chutz me'arusa shav Yehuda mevnei shalibay gaspo. Except for the arusas, the engaged girls in Yehuda used to spend time with their husbands, so there we were afraid that maybe, possibly, she could have become pregnant. So we don't want to confuse the child between the first husband and the second husband. So over there we have to wait. But Rabbi Yehuda otherwise says you can go ahead and get married. Erusin can get married, and married can get engaged. And that's Rabbi Yehuda shita. Rabbi Yosi, Aimer. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not a problem. They can always get engaged, no problem. You don't even have to. Even all girls are able to get engaged, except for an almanah mipnei evil. She has to wait because she's an avelis. So that argues, he says they can only get engaged, they cannot get married, even if they were just from Erison. So we have a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. According to our rules, we should paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Vamrin and Rabbi Lozer, Loy alabei midrash. And now the Gemara tells a little story. What happened? One time, Rabbi Lozer wasn't able to go to the base medrash. Ashkechei le Ravasi. So he met Ravasi on the street. The Havei Koyim, he was standing there. Amar lei, my Amar bebei midrash. What did they talk about in the base medrash today? Amar lei, hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, halachuk Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yochanan, again, remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who set up the rules, and here he was paskening like Rabbi Yosi. So michlal, di yichidah paligalei. So we see it must be that it was somebody, only a single person who argued, because that was the rule we said before, that Rabbi Yossi, we pass like Rabbi Yossi when it's only a single person argues with him. And he said, yes, it's only one person who argues. But Tanya, we learned in a braisa, but that's not true. Haresha hoisa redufa leilich lebeis aviha. If a woman is having trouble in her house, so she's constantly running to her father, so basically she's not spending time with her husband. Oisha hoisa lo kas and balo, or she's in a fight with her husband. Oisha haya balo zaken, her husband's too old, so he couldn't have children. Oi chaylo, or she's too sick. Oisha hoisa hi chaylo, either he's sick, oisha hoisa hi chaylo, or she's sick. Akaria, she's an akaria, so she can't have children. Zakena katana vailanis, or she has the simone islandis, v'she'en ruhiya leilet, or a woman who took some medicines that makes her incapable of having children. In other words, all these cases are cases where she couldn't possibly have a child from her first husband. Oisha hayabala chobish beis asurin, or her husband's in jail. Hamapelis la'achar misas bala, or she had a miscarriage after her husband died, so she can't possibly have another kid from him. Kulon tzrichon lahamtin gimel chadoshim, they still have to wait 3 months. Dere remeir. Rabbi Yossi mater le'ores v'linosim yad. So once again, Rabbi Yossi over here says that you can get engaged and married immediately because we know there can't possibly be a child from the first husband. So lomali. So why do we have to say this case? V'ha'amrid remeir v'Rabbi Yossi halachik Rabbi Yossi. So why did he have to say we paskin like Rabbi Yossi if it's Rabbi Meir? This is the Gemara asking. If it's Rabbi Meir that argues, and we know based on the rules before, whenever we have a machlekes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So why did he have to come out and say that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara says, "My kasha, Dilma la'afuka mit Rabbi Nachman Amar Shmuel." Maybe in this case, once again, really he follows the regular rules, but over here he was worried that people were confused about the halacha. Why? Because we have Shmuel's halacha. The Omar halacha k'Rameir b'gzei roisav. In this case, Rameir was the more machmer. Rameir was the one who said we should wait 3 months. So there's a habamina that we should follow Shmuel's rule, which is whenever Rameir argues and says that there is a that you should wait, we should there's a gzeira that Rameir made that you should wait. Maybe we should follow Rameir's rule. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan had to say that even though Rameir has a gzeira over here, and yes, generally we do follow Rameir's gzeiras. Over here, we're going to follow the regular rule, which is we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So it's still, Rabbi Yochanan's rules are still intact. So the Gemara tries another case, Elamiha, from the following, the Tanan. This is a completely different case. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. This is a Braisa, as opposed to till now, if you notice, we were always quoting Mishnayos. Now, this is the first time we quote a Braisa. It says like this, Holchen liyarid shel nachrim. You're allowed to go to the marketplace of Goyim. Now, this is generally, the problem with this case is, or the issue that the Mishnah, the Braisa is dealing with, is the fact that if you give business to the Goyim or you use their system, the Goyim are going to think that their Avodah Zarah helped them do this, and they're going to end up serving their Avodah Zarah. So we are pretty careful about doing things in a way that are going to make the Goyim happy with their Avodah Zarah. However, even though that's true, as a general rule, in this case, you're allowed to go into the marketplace to buy things from the Goyim. But loichim mehem behemo, and you're allowed to get possessions from them, va'avodim v'shvachos, and slaves, Batim, houses, sadois, v'kramim, fields, and vineyards. So the point that Rashi points out is two things. Either, first of all, you should get the possession. And second of all, then, especially if you buy the house from the guy, there are more Yidden in the neighborhood, it becomes like a Yiddish neighborhood. So it has an advantage. So you're allowed to do this even with the guy. V'kaisiv, and you're allowed to write a shtar, umalabar, chois, shulahen, and you're allowed to go even into their courts, because this is saving it from their hands. Meaning, once they go use their court system, and their court system says that it belongs to you, they won't fight with you anymore because their court says that it belongs to you. So it's mutter. And even if the guy's a kohen, he's allowed to become tamei by going to chutz laretz. Meaning, leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to chutz laretz is a general thing that going into chutz laretz makes a kohen tamei. Lodun, to go to Bezdin, v'la'arer, and to complain imoyim with them. And the Mishnah, the Braisa takes it one step further. K'shem shematamei b'chutz la'aretz, just like you're allowed to become tamei for a kohen to go into chutz la'aretz, kach b'tamei b'beis ha'kvaris, you can even go into a cemetery. So the Gemara says, b'beis ha'kvaris al-kadai tuch tamei d'araisi. It can't mean literally a cemetery, because that's a tamei d'araisa, and this is all the gzeira d'rabbanan. We wouldn't allow you to do something d'rabbanan, being over an isra d'araisa. Hello, so what we meant to say is b'beis ha'pras. The Rabbanan. We meant not a real cemetery, we meant a place that's a suffix. Maybe it was a cemetery, so it's only a din de Rabbanan. So once again, for the sake of getting your possessions, you're allowed to not worry about that tumah gezerah. Umetam elisa isha. Now the next thing is, you're allowed to become tamah, meaning leaving Eretz Yisrael to get married, v'lumay Torah, and to find a Rebbe, to learn Torah. So Amar Rav Yehuda Emesai Bisman Shein Motzi Lumoit. That's only talking about if you can't find anybody in Eretz Yisrael to teach you Torah, you're allowed to go into Chutz Laaretz to learn Torah. But if you find a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, lo yitame, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. That is Rebbe Yehuda Shita. Once again, who argues? Rebbe Yosi. Rebbe Yosi Omer, even if you do find a Rebbe who can teach you Torah in Eretz Yisrael, nami yitame, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and become tamei lefi she'ein min hakol zeicha odem lumoid. There are not every, you're not able to learn from everybody. He could be a great Rebbe for somebody else, but for me, he's not such a great, it doesn't work so well. And I'll be able to learn Torah better if I learn from somebody else. So he says, even though I'll have a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, if I'll find a better Rebbe for my sake in Chutz Laaretz, I'm allowed to leave. So once again, you have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. And the Gemara continues and says, V'amar Rabbi Yosi, Ma'isa b'Yosef ha-Koyin, there was a story with a Koyin. Shaholach etzel Rabbi l'tzidon lumaytari. He went to his Rebbe in Tzidon, which was in Chutz Laaretz, to learn. Okay, so we see you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yochanan says we paskin like Rabbi Yosi. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who set up the rules before, there's no need for him to tell us that we paskin like Rabbi Yosi because we always follow Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara asks, "V'lamali? Why does he have to say this? V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. According to our rules, we always paskin like Rabbi Yosi." Oh. So the Gemara. So now we seem to see that we don't really always apply these rules. Amar Abaye Itzrach. No, over here specifically, we had to say that we follow the rule. Why? I would have thought that in this case we don't apply the rule. Hani miyidu b'masnisin, that the rule only applies to a Mishnah. If you notice, avo b'braisa eim aloy, because if you notice, this case was a braisa. So maybe in a braisa we don't follow the rule. Kamash malon, that we follow the rules even in the braisa. Why? What would be the havamina we wouldn't follow in a braisa? So Rashi says, because sometimes braisas aren't as precise, and it could be that the names are switched around. So if the names are switched around, I might think I'm following like Rabbi Yosi, but really it's not Rabbi Yosi. So he has to say, no, over here also we're going to follow Rabbi Yosi Shita, it's correct. So what did Rabbi Masharshia mean when he said we don't have all the rules? Elohachi ka'amar. So what Rabbi Masharshia meant to say is, Hani klali lav divrei hakol ninu. That not really, not every, not that Rabbi Yochanan didn't say them, but rather not everybody agrees to them. The harav less lay hani klali, because Rav doesn't hold of these rules. So, like we pointed out before, it's true that Rav doesn't hold of the rules. However, machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to follow Rabbi Yochanan. So we are going to end up following the rules because it's Rabbi Yochanan that set up the rules, and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over Rav. That's the end of that gemara. Now we're going to get back into Erevin, a new sugya. Based on what we learned before, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Cheftzei Nachri Ein Koinin Shvisa. If a goy has an object, and as Rashi points out, a goy doesn't have a makom shvisa, doesn't have a place that you say he is here, and therefore he's set in 2,000 amas. A goy doesn't have that, and therefore the objects that he owns also don't have a specific makom, are not limited to 2,000 amas. Ein Koinin Shvisa. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. Suleiman. But who was Shmuel quoting? Which opinion is he following? Ilem the Rabbanon. If he's following the Rabbanon Shita. According to the Rabbanon, they say nobody's ever kind of Shvitza. Even Hefker is not kind of Shvitza. So therefore, of course, over here you're not kind of Shvitza. Hashta, the Gemara says, Hashta, Cheftzei Hefker, the last Luhu Bailim. They have no owners, they don't have Shvitza. In Koinin Shvisa. Cheftzei Nochri de Islei Bailim Miboy. So a goy that doesn't have Shvisa, his objects also don't have Shvisa. Meaning the goy can take it wherever he wants. It's not going to be a problem. So Ela Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So what we're saying is that his chiddush was even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri that says Hefker does have Shvisa Kamash Malon. So what we're teaching you is the following. Eimedam Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. When did Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri say Koinin Shvisa, that Hefker has Shvisa, that has a place, and it's limited to 2,000 amis, hani mili cheftzei Hefker, de leslu bailim. That's by Hefker that doesn't have an owner. So therefore, they have their own place. Ava cheftzei anachri, but if they belong to a goy, de islei bailim, but since it belongs to the goy, and the goy can take it wherever he wants, so it's not limited to 2,000 amis. That's what we want to say according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So the Gemara asks Akasha, Meisvei, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Oimer, Hashoyel kli min anachri. Let's say I borrow a kli from a guy, biyontif. So now that means that the guy, when it started Shabbos, it belonged to the guy had it, and can go wherever it wants. And now I borrowed that object on yontif. V'chein ha-mashal loy l'nachri kli me'erev yontif. I had an object, and I lent it to a guy on erev yontif. So now, when yontif starts, the guy is the one who had possession. V'chziru loy b'yontif, and then he returned it to me on yontif. The question is whether I'm allowed, I'm limited, and where I can take it on yontif. Now, and I have a kelim that I put away, that are in my tchum, but they're in a different place, in a different location in the tchum. So the halacha is, yeshlem apayim am l'chol ruach. They can move 2,000 amas in every direction, but they don't get my tchum. The nochri shehevi loy peris mechutz l'tchum. And also, if I have a guy that brought objects from outside the tchum, from my tchum, and I'm not allowed to move them from their place. So we seem to say that even by a guy there is a concept of shvisa and a tchum. So if you want to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds that a guy does have a makom, does have a shvisa, so then you can explain this price. So then it makes sense to say Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said all these limitations because he holds that a guy does create a shvisa. But if you hold that even Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that there's no shvisa, hamani loy Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri v'loy Rabbanan, it's not either shita, because both shitas will say that there's no shvisa, that there's no set place. So how would you explain this price that seems to say that by goy's objects there is a makam shvisa? So Gemara answers loy lom kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri chefsei hefker chefsei nachri. So really, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri agrees that by a goy there is a shvisa, meaning wherever that object is, it has 2,000 amos, and if the goy brings it further than 2,000 amos, it's out of the tchum. Shmuel damik rabbanon. So when did Shmuel say that they don't have a shvisa? He's talking about according to the rabbanon that say that chefsei hefker never have a mokim. Oh, so the Gemara asked before with the comments the rabbanon pshita. So according to the rabbanon, they hold even hefker doesn't have shvisa. So certainly a goy's object doesn't have shvisa. The Gemara says no. Ma'ad teima gzeira bailim denachri ota bailim diyisrael, because lemaisa by a yid it does have a shvisa. So we would think we should make a gzeira by a guy also. He can do whatever he wants, but his objects should be similarly considered having a makom shvisa. Kamash malan. That's the chiddush. Even according to the rabbanon, there's no gzeira whatsoever, and you could take the objects wherever you want. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, he says a new shita. He says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, cheftzay nachri koinet shvisa." He does say it. Gzeira b'aylam de nachri ota b'aylam Yisrael. He just says it outright because by a yid there's a makom shvisa, so by a guy there is also. So now the Gemara tells a story. Hani dechiri de osa de mevrachta. There were these goats that came to the city of Mevrachta. Shaulu Rava levnei Mechuza lemizman benayu. So Rava said that the people of Mechuza who were 4,000 amos away and they had an eriv, they made an eriv tchumim. He said that they were allowed to buy them in the city of Mevrachta and bring them home, meaning he held that they had no shvisa because the guy brought it there, and then when I buy it, it'll be mine and I can use my shvisa. Amalei Ravina l'Rava, so Ravina said to Rava, my daitcha, what do you hold? How do you permit this? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel chefsei nachri ein koinet shvisa, that they don't have a makom shvisa, so therefore they are not limited. V'amar Shmuel v'Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. However, that's very nice that Shmuel held that there was mutter. But Rabbi Yochanan argues, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds they do have a makom shvisa. So how did you permit it? Like we said before, that even though really min adin they don't have a shvisa, but since by a yid they do have a shvisa, we're going to say a gzeir by a guy also should have a shvisa. So how did you permit them to go out of their tchum? How did to go 4,000 amas based on the yid's own personal tchum? So he says, so the Gemara says, you're right. Hada Amar Rava, lizdavnu libnei mevrachta, tekulu mevrachta lidetu kadal ramas damya. He says, you're right. It's not mutter for the people of Mechuza, which was that other city which was 4,000 amas away. Rather, it was only mutter for the people in the city of Mevrachta to move the object in the entire city. The chiddush over here is, even though the city of Mevrachta was quite large, and where the object was, if let's say it was in the middle of the city, to get to the outskirts of the city would be more than 2,000 amas away. So l'chayra, according to Rabbi Yochanan's gzeira, it shouldn't even be mutter to me bring it from where I bought it to my house, which is more than 2,000 amas away. So he says, no, that's where I permit it, because over there, I consider the entire city, as Rashi says, because the city has walls around it, I consider the entire city to be dalet amos. So now, it's not a problem. On the one hand, it's really a goyiz, and it doesn't have a real shvisa. And even if you want to say it does have a shvisa, otu, a gzera, because of a yid, however, within the same city, I can move it, because the whole city is considered dalet amos. But Anachanami, Rava would agree to Rabbi Yochanan that to take it to a different city, or to go more outside of that particular city, more than 2,000 amos, he would agree that, even though it originally belonged to a goy, you are limited to your 2,000 amos. Okay, we'll stop over here. Because then the Gemara starts with a new sugya.